Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Okay. We have today here quite a few wonderful people from the Philippines. Magandang Sabado, is that correct? Well, close enough, right? You know where I'm going with this. We are very blessed that we have all of you with us. And please look at this scripture again. If you had really known me, who is talking?
Jesus
Christ. If you would know, if you know me, you would know also who my Father is. What is implied, he says, you can look at me, you can see the Father. And this was the question because his disciples asked Jesus, by the way, show us the Father. First, Thomas did not believe that Jesus was actually resurrected, so he asked proof. And then came Andrew and asked, show us the Father. And he says this, from now on, you will know him and have seen him. Anyone who truly see Christ can see the Father. The problem sometimes is that we look at the Father, the wrong impression we have of the Father, the corrupted image of the Father, and then we try to make Jesus look like the Father. Sometimes we are so confused with our own perception of who Christ is that we are unable to understand who the Father is either. And you know what happened? When you have a very confused picture of God, you become a confused follower of Christ. And there are quite a few of them around the world. So let's continue. Today's message is, if you do have a copy of the bulletin, you can see the artwork that we put together. You see the picture of Jesus actually is nine Jesus put together, nine different pictures of Jesus. Some Caucasian, some of all the, you know, they make this. The question is, which one is really Jesus? If you go to one part of the country, in one particular denomination, they may paint Jesus according to their own racial background, cultural background. Sometimes, if you are Asian, you want to see a Jesus that's Asian, that looks like me. Or if you are Caucasian, you want to see a blonde, blue-eyed Jesus as well. And if you go on Google and look for Jesus, you find more than 1,000 different Jesus. The question is, who is the one? Which one are you looking for? You're looking for one that looks like you? Or you're looking for one that will make you look like him? Which Jesus are you looking for? Which Jesus you're serving or being served by? This is a world that is very confused. At the present, and there's some other different statistics, some people say 2.5 billion people in the world claim to practice some form of, what is the word that you think I'm going to put next? Christianity, right? What about this church? Churchianity. There are a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but they are not really Christians. They are just church, you know, just part of a church. And you'll be amazed that some even have a SDA close by. And so many people practice to go to church. But this is about one-third of the world population, one-third. Churchianity has thousands of denominations. The United States alone have more than 30,000 and counting. The largest is the Roman Church. There are about 1.2 or a little bit over that billion Roman Catholics around the world at this moment. The question is, all of these people claim to be Christians. 41,000 denominations use the term Christian to describe themselves. Why so many? If Christ is one, God is one, what is the deal? Why so many religions? Why so many Christs? So many different gods? When did all this started? Do you remember in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had the first encounter with a particular visitor? This individual came wearing a false, you know, image. He used a serpent to distract. It was made in Disney, you know. Here comes the serpent talking, and Eve said, wow. Now, of all the things that I learned about creation so far, I did not know that the animals talk this fancy. Now, that Satan was there. He was trying to introduce the first time the question, which one? Until that moment, that question did not exist in a vocabulary. There was no such thing as which one. Only thing for Adam and Eve as they were created is the one. But Satan came and introduced the option. And he said, the God that you are supposed to be serving, he's lying to you. So he starts to create another image, the first, second image of God. The creator we know is Jesus Christ. So that was the first picture, the false picture that was created. About 93 million Bibles are distributed every year. So the fact is not that these people are not being exposed to the Bible. The point is what they do with the Bible so that they cannot find the real Jesus. Why they are reading the same book that I am, and yet they cannot see the same Jesus that I see or you see. The Word, which is the Bible, declares that there is only one God. So why is the first commandment tells us you should not have another God? Isn't it almost like it sounds like contradiction? Because if there is only one God, why the commandment says you should not worship any other gods? Is because God knew that humans will be tempted to form other gods. It starts from the beginning. And yes, humans are creating God instead of believing they were created by God. In 1 Timothy, there is this text that you must, if you do give Bible studies to anyone, you must have this mark in your Bible. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, for there is one God. How many?
One.
And one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ. Now, I know that some of you here may not be a Seventh-day Adventist. I don't know all of you, your private life. I'm not going to apologize for what I'm preaching, okay? If you expect me to apologize for that, I will not. I will be as kind as possible with the truth, but I have to be said. I used to attend the Roman Catholic Church. I'm very familiar with the denomination. I also attend services in the Baptist Church. I also attend a school that was Presbyterian. I also had friends and attend services in the Methodist Church. I also have friends and attend a service in the Pentecostal Church. And that's how far I went. But in college, we took a course comparing 100 religions, the most religions in the world. 100 of them at least, the largest ones. And I'd like to say to you that it is very typical for humans to create their God instead of being created by their God. That's why we have so many religions. And all these denominations that I went, they all of them claimed that they knew Christ and they were serving Christ, therefore they were Christians. But I can tell you, brothers and sisters, when you read this scripture, it is not possible for somebody to say, you follow the Bible, you follow the Bible, I follow the Bible, but yet we all have three different gods. It's not possible. And that particular church also have, in Brazil, is the largest Catholic country in the world. they have almost two saints per day for you to celebrate. So everybody who's born in Brazil, if you're born today, for example, July 9th, oh, there is a saint. So you can name your child according to that saint. Or, by the way, they have male and female. So, and sometimes they have a female version. And some of you here that is from the Philippines, you know that it's the same thing. The Roman Catholic Church has a very strong influence how to name the children. They say that Mary is a mediator. They say that Peter is a mediator. If you ask, and I did, I have a talk with a Catholic priest, and when I talked to him about the mediator, he says that Peter is the foundation of the church. Anyone here have been a Catholic before? You know that, right? They say that Peter is the foundation of the church. And they even say that Peter has the keys of heaven. You have heard that too. Oh, before you get to heaven, you have to talk to Peter because he has the keys. According to the Bible, who has the key? Who is the door? Who is the door according to the Bible? Jesus Christ. Who has the key? The only one who can open, the only, you know, Revelation says very clearly. So why we are teaching to the world that it's somebody else? Because Satan from the beginning wants to multiply the options so that you get confused and you not choose the right one. That's why we chose for today the title, Which One? There are so many. Here are just a typical of what we have been saying. Jesus Christ said in John 14, verse 6, we all know, I am the way. And by the way, there is no other way. I am the truth. And you cannot have two. Or either you have the right one or you don't. And it says, and I am life. Why is it important to have the way? Many people find a way, but they stop there. Many people know where the truth is, but they find a shortcut. They try to get away from the truth. And that's why they sacrifice their own eternal life. No one. This basically Jesus saying, I am the way, I am the truth, I am life, I am the mediator. Because that's the last part. It says, no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the mediator. I am the bridge. No one can come to the Father except by me. Now, in 1 Timothy, we already read, it says, for there is no one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Jesus Christ, is the only one who creates you and gave his life to have you back. That's how much the price was paid. And that's, we must understand that. Also in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Brother Steve, we used this morning. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, but what about today? Is Jesus the same today? He says, yes, today the same. What about forever? Yeah. So Jesus changes not. If you have given Bible studies to other people, you probably have heard people saying, oh, God asked us to keep the Ten Commandments, but Jesus, the Son, decided for us that a Sunday is better. By the way, it's a different spelling. Sunday, the day of the sun, according to the Protestant churches and the Roman Catholic Church, they said Jesus established the first day to be worshipped. There's no such thing. That's a different Jesus that the Bible does not teach. Again, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. So who is actually going to go to heaven? Who is the one who really know who Christ is? The one who does the will. In other words, for you to know Christ, to have Christ, you have to have the Father. In order to have the Father, you must have Christ and have the Holy Spirit as well. You cannot have any other way. Many will say to me in that day, but Lord, you know, we have mega churches. We have millions of people attending our services every Sunday. We have distributed food for millions of people. We have missionaries. We have TV stations. We create movies. We create books. We have everything. By the way, we even have a miracle sections every Sunday. We heal people in front of the cameras. In all we do this in your name, we cast out demons from the people. What else can we do? We do this, all these wonders in your name. And Jesus will say this to them, and then I will declare to them, I have no idea who you are. All the big churches, you have never invited me there. The Christ that you worshiped there was a different Christ that doesn't look like me. The God that you worship is not me. You are not there doing my will. You are doing there, make the will of Rome. That's what you were serving. And again, I have no intention to attack anyone. I'm just talking about the doctrines. I'm not talking about people, because only God knows the heart of everyone.
Amen.
Okay? In a Roman Catholic church, in a Presbyterian church, or whatever other church of denomination, God is the one who examines the hearts of each one person. I'm talking about the systems. Okay? That is wrong. It says, I never knew you. Depart from me. Don't even get close, because there is no communion between light and darkness, between good and bad, between the will of God and those that do not want to do the will of God. He says, you who practice lawlessness. In other words, you do not practice my Father's will. If someone claims, and by the way, this is not Pastor Elson who is saying this. This is not a Seventh-day Adventist who is saying this. This is the Bible that all those denominations carry under their arms. And they all can open and they can find the same text there, no matter what version you find. It says, if someone claims, I know God, but does not obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living the truth. By the way, Jesus talked about someone being the liar. Who is that Jesus Christ talked about? Abaddon. He said, he is a liar. He is the father of all lies. And also, you look in your Bible, Mark 7:7. It's very easy. Mark your Bible, 7:7. Mark 7:7, which is very easy. You're never going to forget again. Jesus said, in vain they worship me. These people go to church, they are wasting their time. Why? Because they are not seeking the right path. They are not seeking the right Jesus to worship. Pilate was talking to Jesus and asked, what is truth? He asked Jesus, what is truth? Then he went out again to the people and told them, this is what he told them, he is not guilty of any crime. Don't you folks see? Why you try to condemn such a nice man? He is the best thing that has happened to this country. Free health care. Free food. He's teaching people. He's helping to bring peace. Instead of asking you to attack Romans, he says, no, be kind to the Romans too. So this is a nice guy. He's been nice to all of us. Why are you so mean? I have seen nothing wrong. By the way, God spoke to his wife. And by the way, brothers, be careful, because Father, God speaks to a lot of wives. And spoke to the wives. And the wife went and told him, don't get yourself messed up with this, because this individual is innocent. Don't be part of this. But he did something very typical of politicians. By the way, it has been 2,000 years and the politicians still behave exactly the same way. They don't change. It's a class that they don't change. And he says, you know what? How can I compromise? How can I get out of this one? I please everybody and I get out of this one. And you know how the story goes. You find that in John. You see that he went and asked for water after he offered them two options. Let me give you the text. open your Bibles in Matthew 27, verse 17. And I'm asking you to open your Bibles because you may have a different version. I have the New Century Version here on the screen. I'm going to put it in the screen. It says, when the people gathered at Pilate's house, Pilate said this, whom do you want me to set free? Which one? And that's where it came to the title. Which one? I'm going to give you two. And here is how satanic, how evil, how Satan is behind, and how tricky he is. This is not coincidence. At that time, there was an individual that was arrested because he was trying to become a liberator of Israel, a Messiah. So he got a bunch of gangsters with him, and we went around to create a lot of trouble to the Romans. So finally they were arrested. Two of his co-soldiers were arrested too. And his name, do you know what is his name? Anybody knows what his name?
Barabbas.
No, that was his second name. What was his first name? You're not going to believe it was Yahshua. Yesu. Jesus. Did you know that the name of Barabbas was Jesus?
No.
Yes, if you look in a King James, and there's a little note there, a little A, you look like it says, the NU manuscript have the name Jesus. Afterwards, they decide to, the copiers, the people that make copies of the New Testament, decide to drop the name Jesus, not to confuse people. So they left just the Barabbas. But literally, if you try to look at this name literally, his name was Jesus, the Son of God. Can it be more sinister than that, that Satan put an individual there at that moment, that his name was Yahshua Barabbas? Bar is for son, Abbas, the son of Abbas. Okay? Jesus Barabbas. And then there was this other Jesus that he says, and this Jesus that you call the Messiah, that you call the Christ. And now for many people there, all that they could see, it was one Jesus, Barabbas, and another Jesus of Nazareth. And you know Nazareth. There's nothing good from Nazareth. And so all this was put in place so that people could see the picture. There is I left that little A there by the name Barabbas because that's where in the version gives you that information. Or Jesus, who is called the Christ. Brothers and sisters, why am I bringing this subject before you? Don't be naive. You are being exposed to the same question every day. Every time you practice your faith, you're being asked the same one, the same question. Which one are you really adopting as your Christ? Who is really God in your life? Are you worshiping Yeshua that is not the real one? What kind of Christ do you have in your life? I like to say this to you, brothers and sisters, that we, as Christians, we must spend time choosing the right one. He says, if you have really known me, you will know who my Father is as well. He says, from now on, you do know him and have seen him. I hope that as we celebrate communion today, that you celebrate for the right reasons, because you have the right Christ as part of your life. Are you a real Christian? When somebody calls you a Christian, what do you think that person is calling you? A member of the denomination? Or someone who is revealing the Father through the kind of life that you have? Are you really a Christian? Ask yourself this question. Have I picked the right Christ? Do I serve the right Christ? And how, what is the solution if you have not? If you search the Word and you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, you will see the real Christ. And you know what is amazing? The moment that you start looking at Christ, people will look at you and they will see the glory of Christ in your face. And as an illustration, I don't know, I hope there's not a poor illustration, but there was a, now they are playing tennis in England. And I like tennis, but sometimes it's just, the games are too long, so I record them and just forward. Okay, one set over. Okay, next set. I just forward because it's too much time to watch the whole, it's too long. Especially men, you know, they, sometimes they go to so many hours playing. But this individual, the number one of the world, was playing, and he lost two sets. And basically there's one more set for him to be kicked out. And he said that he had to do something. So he called for a break, a bathroom break. And he went to the bathroom. And people, forgive me, I don't want to be, you know, you go to the bathroom, you know what you're going to do there in the bathroom. I don't need to go into detail. But he went to the bathroom, but he went there for a different reason. He went there to look himself in a mirror. And he said, and later on everybody laughed, but he said, this is what made me change my whole game. He said, I looked in the mirror and I talked to myself. And I told myself, wake up. This is the opportunity that it will not come back. This is it. He looked at himself in the eye and he talked to himself. And he came back a different individual. The person who was playing with him said, where did this guy came from? Because he's playing completely different. So later on they asked him, what happened? He said, I just talked to myself. I looked myself in the mirror and I realized I'm not being myself. I can be somebody else. I can win. I have to believe. I want each one of you to look at the image of Christ, the real Christ. And then you're going to find out how much you can do in this life. Amen. May God bless you. And as we continue celebrating this gift of life, we like to call your attention to what Jesus Christ said, and this is his invitation to all of us. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And then he asked them, do you understand what I have done for you? There are a lot of Christians that do not understand what Jesus Christ is talking about. I had once a preacher, a chaplain, told me, oh, we don't have to celebrate the foot washing. That is only once a year, maybe not even that. Communion is just the bread, and there are people inside of our own denomination. There are pastors who are no longer practicing the foot washing. And I'm not saying this with the intent to criticize anyone. Is because sometimes we look too much to the world and not enough into the Word of God. Amen. And sometimes we start practicing things that is not biblical. It says, do you understand what I have done for you? He didn't say what I have said to you. He said what I have done. He implied the foot washing too, brothers and sisters. He implied the breaking of the bread, the all three steps. He asked them, and then he says, you call me teacher and Lord. And he put the word teacher first. And right so, for that is what I am. And then he says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, now he put Lord first and then teacher second, have washed your feet, you also may wash one another's feet. Oh, you also should. You always speak English here. You know what the difference between you may and you should. If you depend on what Christ you have, if you have one Christ that may tell you, you may. and you have a biblical Christ that says you should, which one do you pick today? I have set you an example that you, there you go again, should do as I have done for you. As I told you the story before, I told that chaplain, and I told him, let's go to lunch, and I want you to read this in your Bible. Because he asked me, why you Seventh-day Adventists practice this? I said, we don't. We just follow the Bible. This has nothing to do with our church. This has to do with the Bible. We follow the Bible. We're not following denomination rules. Let's read. And he read. And as a good result, we had a communion for the entire prison. And yes, foot washing, the whole communion. It was the first time in his life, he said, my whole life, the first time. And they all, I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the master greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you should just ignore them and go on, right? You should be, you'll be blessed if you do that. Mm-hmm. Now, why sometimes people don't do the foot washing? Because sometimes they are feel like inconvenient. Some people may say embarrassed. Look at the cross. If you're embarrassed to wash your feet, no matter if your toenails is like this way or going that way or there's none toenail, doesn't matter. I want you to look at the cross and see the inconvenience that you created went for you and I'm going to say this. Somebody's going to be offended. Grow up. You know, put your act together. You're being asked just to give so little for and receive so much. It's not the fact that the foot washing itself has the power to change you. But when you obey God's instructions, Jesus Christ says, then you look like me, and then you look like my Father. So I ask you, which one do you pick today? I hope you pick the right Christ. There will be in this room here, the multipurpose room, right as you go out this way, there is the ladies there. Okay? Then there is a cross on the kinder class. Over there will be for men. And then the following class is be for couples. Now, if one person here came, you are here all by yourself, and you don't have somebody to have a foot wash with you, if you're a man, I can help you. If you're a woman, we have ladies here that will help you, but there's no reason for you not to participate if you choose so. But one more thing. If you made a decision not to participate, this is between you and God. Do not feel forced to do anything against your will, because only God rules. Whatever you do to please Him. Okay? So I hope that you all feel comfortable to do. At this moment, we'll be leaving. But remember this. A person who has been baptized needs only to wash his feet. This is what Jesus told to Peter. Unless I wash you, Peter, you have no part with me. And you know what that means? Unless I wash you, you have no communion with me. Part with me means communion with me. And that's where our Lord Jesus Christ says. Let's go now at this moment with reverence to those rooms so that we can have the food washing.